Hello. This is Reverend Urban greeting you during this week, which is Thanksgiving week. And it's my hope that you have a happy and wonderful Thanksgiving, or that you have had one. You know, we really do have so much to be thankful for. And we go over and over that again many times. But I hope the message of the day is suggestive to you of some additional reasons for us to be thankful. God has given us life. Sometimes we wonder why so long. Sometimes we wonder why so short. And yet, that's a marvelous and wondrous gift, and we rejoice that He has seen fit in His love to give us that great gift. Many other gifts are ours too, as you know. So truly, though we set aside a day for Thanksgiving, truly we who are Christ people are thankful all the time and seek to live the best we can with His help. A life of gratitude. Anyway, we hope the Lord has been good to you. We hope your neighbors and friends and family have been good to you, because we know that you have been to them. And so may God increase His already many blessings upon you and give you strength for each day that He gives you life. Eternal God, who causes the seasons to come and go, and who makes the fruits of the earth to minister to the needs of man, we are thankful that you have brought us again to the time of harvest, then, and that, according to your promise, seed time and harvest have not failed. We offer you our thanksgiving and pray that you will feed our souls on the bread of life. Lord God, who from the beginning of our lives has touched us, chastened us, and lifted us, grant that our prayers and supplications may be acceptable to you. You are the provider, we are the receivers. You are the Father, we are the children. You open your hand and we are fed. You close your hand and we are in want. Have mercy on us according to your love and compassion. So with thanksgiving, we recollect the happy hours when friendships made offerings of love and brought satisfactions to our hearts, when music and art and beauty moved our being, when memory moved our spirits and the severed cords of love were momentarily restored, and when the call to duty and work engaged our wills. It is with thanksgiving we remember the days of sorrow and the comfort given, the days of pain and the grace received, the days of loss and disappointment, and your constant care and presence. It's with joyous hearts that we recall the mystic moments when nature enfolded us, from gardens and bird songs, the brooks and placid pools, from meadows and flowers, from high mountains and snow, and when we have felt upon our brow the breath of your benediction. In gratitude, we rejoice in your faithfulness, for sins forgiven, for the body's healing, for the hope of eternity, for the certainty that dreams do come true, for tender love and care given us, and we praise you for Jesus Christ. We know that we can only bow with Paul and say, "Thanks be to thee for this inexpressible gift." Accept our thanksgiving and give us the will to accept your will for our lives. And now, Lord God, in a silent moment, listen to the thoughts of our hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In response to a question about some people who were standing before God praising Him in ways that we never thought about praising, the answer, when asked who these people were, the elder said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation." Why is it, if it is, that a people, is not grateful? There's only two reasons why people, a group of people or a person, isn't grateful. One is because he has nothing to be thankful for, or because he has too much to be thankful for. Now, we Americans cannot claim the former, but the latter does fit our situation pretty well. You see, gratitude results when the extremes of nothing and everything intersect. This was the case with the text which pictures the saints in heaven worshiping God, praising and thanking Him. These are those who have come out of the great tribulation. Because they have suffering, because they have trouble and adversity, they could be grateful for the privilege of being before the throne of God. This is the way it was with the first Thanksgiving that led to the great heritage we have as Americans. It was a time of scarcity, and the first Thanksgiving meal was not the laden tables we see pictured, but were rather clams and bread made from Indian corn. You see, the real enemy of gratitude, grateful heart, is affluence. When we are prosperous, we forget the goodness of God. We take things so much for granted as though we deserved all the good things. We have trouble appreciating because we have not known anything but plenty. Oh, some of us who are older may remember some lean years during the 30s, but none of us have really known anything but enough and plenty. Our children have never known anything but affluence. Now, I'm not a highly paid individual, but I'm paid anyway, I don't know whether I earn it or not, more money in a single week than my father used to earn in a year, supporting 10 people. Our children really don't know anything about not having. All they know is affluence. Our age has been spoiled, has spoiled us because of our scientific and technological progress. We can produce and make so many things that we have the delusion that we are self-sufficient. Who needs God? More and more we look to man's know-how to provide the necessities of life, and we trust in our industry to produce all that we need and all that we want, so long as we can pay for it. In season, for example, in the lake resorts areas, you can see both sailboats and motorboats. Now, before motorboats, a sailor had to rely on the wind and upon God to provide the favorable wind. But who cares today about the wind or about God when you can get in a boat with scores of motorized horsepower and go where you want to, whether the wind's blowing or not? You don't even have to think about God, let alone plead with Him to give you a favorable wind. All you need is one of those motorized monsters and a little gas in the tank. Or take the fishermen of yesterday and of today. In the olden days, the fishermen, especially the commercial one, went through an elaborate ritual before going out. His livelihood depended on his catch, and he wanted the favor of his God. And when he went out, after he had performed the ritual, he hoped that God would give him luck in getting a good catch. Now, who would bother today to pray and to sacrifice before a God before going out to fish? Now we have all kinds of gadgets, electronic gear that find the fish for us. So who needs God? If a person is able to get all he needs, God's not a factor. Why be grateful if God is not involved any longer? And I suppose that's the problem we face concerning developing a grateful spirit and attitude. It is not that we don't have enough. It is that we have too much. We are not a people who have come out of the Great Tribulation. We are not a people who have come out of even a little fretfulness. But we bask in the sunshine of prolific prosperity. What shall we do about it? Shall we ask God to wound us, to hurt us, that we might learn tribulation and be grateful? Shall we seek to be like Job, who lost everything? No one in his right mind would suggest that. But there are better ways to be thankful amid affluence. And that, I think, is a challenge we face as Americans, because of the importance of the grateful and thankful attitude in the rich, the mature, and the whole life. Can we be thankful and reap the rewards of being thankful in spite of our richness? How can we be thankful and still have the highest standard of living in the richest country in the world? One thing is something we're told every Thanksgiving and at other times too. One thing we can do is to be aware of the many good things God has given us. We need to be aware that these good things come from God and not from man. Can't we really become aware of God's blessing upon us as a nation? We are blessed with a great amount of freedom, a freedom which is being steadily eroded. We can still worship as we please. We can speak and write our minds, and we can gather together. While better than one-third of the world does not have those freedoms. But that's old hat. But another way we can develop thankfulness is to use our imagination. Just imagine what your life would be if you did not have the things that you now take for granted. Take something as common as food. Every day, 10,000 people on this globe die of starvation. Can you imagine what it would be like and how you would feel if you went home today and there was absolutely nothing to eat, and nothing tomorrow, nor Tuesday, nor Wednesday, nor, heaven forbid, Thanksgiving Day? Can you imagine that? I doubt it. Can you imagine what it would be like to lose one of your children? Some of us have. And if you have loved ones still with you, isn't that adequate cause to give thanks and to praise God? Can you imagine not having your faith? Would there not be a kind of blackout in your life, however feeble and frail you think your faith might currently be? Suppose you no longer had Christ as your Lord. Suppose you had to go through life with the weight of your sins, with no one to forgive you. Not to have Christ in your life makes you the poorest and the most miserable of all persons. What if you did not have the Scriptures? Where else would you turn for guidance and eternal things? Where else would you meet the great souls of mankind, like Moses and Peter and Isaiah, Paul and others? Imagine if you did not have your church. There'd be no place for you to receive the sacraments and the word and to have God's grace mediated to you. You would not have an intimate fellowship with other believers. Just imagine if you did not have these and countless other things which we all now take so much for granted. Then perhaps we will realize how good God is, and we'll be grateful. And then the challenge to be grateful in a world of plenty can be met if we will realize and exercise our responsibility. Jesus taught, "To whom much is given, of him shall much be required." Now, it isn't easy to be rich. The possession of wealth carries with it heavy responsibility to be faithful in the use of all that God has given. We rich Americans are being held accountable before God right now. Are we proving to be good trustees of this largesse which God has given us? What are we doing about the proper use of natural resources? We face a severe energy crisis, and yet we use and drive and drive. Shall we continue to act as drunken sailors in using up the precious resources as though the supply was inexhaustible? It is not inexhaustible. Already, we have faced the depletion of minerals, soil and gas and oil. Trace elements, in some instances, are gone. It is estimated that 15 tons of topsoil pass out the mouth of the Mississippi River every second. Every second, not hour, not day, but every second. We're thankful we will preserve the good things God has given us so that our children and our grandchildren may have something of the same blessings that we have, which comes from the earth's resources. Now, the challenge to be grateful further in our prosperous times can be met if we share our largesse with those who have less. Thanksgiving means giving to those who are afflicted. It's hard to realize that the rest of the world does not have it as good as we have it. I know a man who a few years ago went to Tanzania as a medical missionary. Last Christmas, he mimeographed a letter he sent to his friends describing the country where he worked. He said that poverty abounded, disease was widespread, and ignorance was a mark of the people. You can imagine a poverty when you realize that the average person there gets an annual income of $70. Now, who of us could live on that? We can't live on $70 a week, let alone $70 a year. He reported that in the larger towns there is one doctor for every 20,000 people, and in the rural areas one doctor for every 100,000 people. He said that 2 out of every 10 people have lost sight of at least one eye. He said that infant mortality rate is so great that 3 out of 4 children die at birth. Now, this is not a picture of one small Africa country. It's a picture of at least one-third of humankind. Now, if we're grateful, we will prove it by helping those people with what we know and with what we have. We can do it through our nation. Yet, we complain mightily about foreign aid dollars. We do have a fair record. Since the Second World War, we have given $151 billion in foreign aid. And our business people have invested $75 billion in foreign lands. Now, I know that these billions are not all blessings to the world's have-nots, for often with the strings attached political arrangements and the greed of our industrial giants, our foreign aid and investments have meant not less suffering, but more. Nevertheless, a direction has been established. We can do more in terms of amounts, but more particularly in terms of conditions. Buying friends, as we've tried to do for so long, will not aid us in the long run. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked will. Industrial investments which rob and exploit people are doomed to create backlashes. So let us, as Christian Americans, insist that our foreign aid continue and it not be used to prop up the Somoza-type dictators in the world, but it be used to assist people, people who hurt and who are hungry and who need the touch of God's love through us. Then, too, we can help the world's poor through volunteer and church relief agencies and thus express our thanks. We can show God our thanksgiving by helping His children. In the text, we saw a great multitude of people gathered around God, praising and thanking Him. We are told that they came out of a great tribulation. Suppose someone would ask, where are we who are gathered together today to thank and praise God, where we came from? It could be said, these are those who came out of a great prosperity. God grant us the grace to be ever grateful in the midst of our abounding abundance. Let us pray. Lord our Father, we can only bow before you in humility. We can't explain why we are favored above others of your people. We can't explain why we are wealthy and others are poor. We can't explain why you have put us in a prosperous land and left others to eke out a living in barrenness. But we can be thankful. We can respond to the call to serve and to share. Help us to do so in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.